Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, my. What a finish.
I said Lawrence Holmes is coming up. I was wrong. It takes two men to replace him, Mark Grody and Anthony Herron.
I've been wrong before.
So who brings in a Culver's bag that doesn't have Culver's in it?
Well, it was a last-second decision because there were many a grocery bag in the pantry area mm-hmm. that I wanted to bring my Papa's Pizza in with, and the headset and my tiny little clown nose things that I bring with me. And I went with the Culver's bag as a quick grab as opposed to the roller bag I normally bring. Because my roller bag I usually have. A lot of folks ask me when I roll through with that. A lot of times I'm like making multiple stops in this area here, and I'll have the headset and I have a bunch of my like football notepads for the Bears and college stuff and booklets and everything. It's the off season for football, so I don't have all that stuff I usually
Well,
have
and
to
you
carry.
Know, for those of us who live in the city where plastic bags are a commodity,
oh,
because
yeah.
we don't want to pay the 7 cents. We all have our.
I feel like the Book of Eli, where everybody's trying to find water. That's a plastic bag in downtown right now.
That's
you don't
a good
see it very
one.
Much.
And that's
it. Strong.
Strong.
Very nice.
I've taken this to Jewel before
very
and
nice.
Shopped with it.
See, I've been shamed many years ago on our trip to Bourbonnais. It was a one nighter. We were staying at the Holiday Inn there, Bourbonnais. And I get out of the car, and I open the trunk, and I take my stuff out. And I had packed, you know, I threw a toothbrush and underpants and whatever into a Jewel bag. And a Batacola looks at me and goes, oh, no. And I said, what? He goes, you did. He goes, come on, Dan. He said, I know you're low rent, but even for you. He said, you packed you have an overnight in a Jewel bag? He's like, you're not homeless. What's wrong with you? I mean, you see me standing there in the parking lot just dressing me down. And it's completely deserved. And he just has this look on his face like, my goodness, who raised you? Like, how could you possibly?
Was it a life-altering moment
for
you?
I obviously remembered it.
I wouldn't have been that surprised by it. You're one night of forgetting to do laundry away from wearing a Jewel bag as pants. It's not that close for you. You're right there.
Yeah. You know what is strange? Speaking of bringing up the 7 cent price tag for bags at grocery stores here in the great city of Chicago is those moments when you're not in the city of Chicago.
I know, you're like, oh my god,
it's right.
It's
right.
You know what it's like? It's like in Moscow on the Hudson when Robin Williams' character, who's just defected from Russia, is sent to the store to get coffee.
Yeah.
And he's used to standing in long line to the store. And he's coffee cut. He looks up and he sees all the car and he passes out to the grocery store.
Or the old, this will go back a little bit. There is an Eddie Murphy skit when he was on Saturday Night Live where he dressed up as a white guy.
Yes, I mean,
how white life was different. Right. And he goes into a store, and I can't remember what it was, but it basically was the clerk just giving him something. Go ahead.
Right, like the other guy leaves the store, and it's just Eddie and the clerk, and the clerk just slides him some cash.
When white people are alone, they give things to each other. That's amazing. Yeah. What a nice surprise.
Like, what are you doing? Eddie's passing him money to pay for whatever little trinket is, like a box of gum. Whatever.
Yeah. That's true. We went to a hockey tournament like out in Darien and Burridge. And I went, going to the gym, I'm like, I can take as many bags as I want. Look at all of these bags.
Honey, I just saved 21 cents.
Oh my goodness.
Three bags for zero.
And the paper bags, too, that I can take the newspapers out to the recycling bin. Right. Those are valuable, too. I hoard those.
Yes, that was one of the great parts about Bourbonnais. I would go to the Bourbonnais Jewel all the time in the last couple of years and just load up on those free bags. I'm going to Indianapolis next week for the NFL Combine.
Right.
Bags, baby.
Now,
what
you guys get used to, though, because are you going to Arizona next week or is it the week after?
First week of March, so 2 weeks.
Okay, so a couple weeks from now.
Score,
so
house,
you have to be accustomed to it then, because Arizona, all the shopping bags your little heart will desire. Also, cigarette smoke, though, because you mentioned Indianapolis. Like, Chicago, as much as, you know, living here, traveling abroad and going to different places around the country here, going out to the West Coast, you get used to not smelling and being around cigarette smoke here. And I go to some of the other spots, like, what is it? oh, that I forgot what a cigarette smelled like. And then your clothes smell like it when I get back to the hotel room. It's just, it feels like it envelops everything. And wait, I notice it more.
Arizona still has smoking in public.
Hanging out at casinos, or what are you doing, Big Ant?
On occasion. Not in Arizona. When I go to New Orleans, they got a casino there. On occasion. Cleveland.
I thought the West was the first part of the country to eliminate the cigarette smoke.
California, most definitely.
Arizona's only kind of the West.
It's all
there are
world.
Parts that are the wild, West, and there are parts the that very much aren't.
Yeah. Well, in our city, too, the smell of marijuana has always existed in Chicago just because of the amount of people that are here, even when it wasn't legalized. But it's more and more. And I walk in the city a lot and live downtown.
But, you know, it's not only legalized in Chicago.
Well, we're in a bubble here, Casey. We don't really acknowledge the 217 and the rest of the state. We're in our own Chicago bubble, but it is definitely more prevalent. And now people who visit now look at it sort of like the way we used to look at Denver. Oh, we could buy this and use it. I don't even know what the rules are. Like, is it the same as like public drinking? You can get busted.
I've definitely seen it out. I'm in Colorado, I see it a lot. I'm certainly not like going to call anybody out for it. I don't know if they're doing it in the way it's supposed to be done or not, but I see it everywhere when I'm in Colorado, Washington.
Originally, the actual letter of the law here was you could smoke at home, but not on your front porch, even if you're on your property or like not in view of other people. But then they said they're not going to enforce that. Huh. That they're not going to climb over your backyard fence if you're standing at a barbecue with a doob. They're not going to. So I think that probably makes sense if you're on
your own
property.
One of the states is you can have it, you purchase it, you use it, but not outdoors maybe, or not in like public venues or restaurants or whatever. Maybe it's Washington. I don't know. Some of my Pac-12 travels, somebody was specifying what it was.
Gentlemen, I have come to the conclusion upon listening to a couple of segments on your show, the one with Jay Zawoski talking about the Blackhawks. Yeah. Of course I listen to these guys. Nice. Every day I listen to these guys. Listening to you guys talking to your Bulls guests and just the general Bulls talk here on the station, salute. I don't know if our winter teams are going to make it. I think that they are going to die and they are going to cease to exist, because even if we think like the final 27 games for the Bulls, it really, if this change truly is coming, like this big change, and there is reason to believe that it will, does the final 27 games of the year even matter? I don't think it does. I mean, because if they really bring in a new general manager, that general manager already sees things the way he sees things, no matter how they play together the rest of the year.
That's the question. I mean, are the interviews for that position going to start with, do you believe Zach LaVine should be here? And then he says yes, and then the interview continues. And they say no, and the interview ends, and then you're really not interviewing for that position.
It can't end. If you say, maybe he thinks like I think. And maybe he thinks this would be a terrific time after Zach LaVine has had this outstanding year and he put all this great stuff on film to get what you can for him, because he's never going to be a superstar. That's a completely legitimate basketball opinion.
Of course it is. But if they're interviewing based on trying to find someone who believes in whatever vision that they've established,
that's bad interviewing.
Then you're missing the point.
The whole point of the interview is to hire somebody who can look at all you have completely differently.
Fresh ideas, new ideas, not just a part of groupthink. And my impression, my assumption is that they're going to want somebody to be a part of groupthink because they feel like they're making the proper decisions, even though the results don't indicate that they are. But my hope and what would be preferable is that that's not the case. If they bring in a fresh set of eyes who they trust to say the results haven't been there, what do you think should happen with this franchise from here?
I feel like they're going to bring somebody in by saying, here are the places outside the box we're comfortable going. Please don't take us anywhere else. You know, like these are the established, understood, safe places outside the box. You can go here.
Here's the shot collar.
You come back to the damn box.
Right. Yeah.
It'd be really smart if they would allow the GM, though, to actually, and this would require some patience on the part of the fans, and I think that they would be, to allow for, yes, another total and complete rebuild. If they would allow for one thing to happen, like something dramatic, and it would be dramatic if you traded Zach LaVine, if they would allow for that to happen, then you would have immediately, even if fans didn't like the idea that LaVine was traded, you would have public trust back, because then finally you wouldn't believe that John Paxson had something to do with it, because you know that at this point John Paxson's desire would not be to blow up the latest core that he has assembled.
I think maybe I think Bulls fans, especially because they've seen the regime that's currently in place go through multiple rebuilds. Now, the first one we were talking about the other day, the first one worked out okay. And then there's been, what, two other rebuilds of this current iteration, and it just it hasn't gone well. And I think to hear rebuild again when you've gotten those number seven picks and you've drafted talent to the roster, and the feeling is that the coach who's coaching them isn't developing them, and the front office that's in place isn't managing them properly, to say rebuild again when it looks like there's pieces here that maybe you could do something with, I don't know that folks are into that.
The developmental piece has to matter so much, because so much of that is going on now in the NBA in a way that it wasn't, where those the bottom of the roster guys aren't just bodies. They're prospects. They're traits. There are things that you can turn into NBA players that help you. When Miami finds Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Herro and turns Bam Adebayo into an all-star and just knows what they want their guys to do. The stories that I heard back when Budenholzer was with the Hawks, and they had Kenny Atkinson on the bench, they had Quinn Snyder for a while, and I forgot exactly, he might have more than one head coach, but Quinn Snyder was a developer. A guy who had come from the college ranks, and what he did with Dennis Schroeder, what he did with other guys, like a really well-run NBA staff, before games and at practices, you've got assistants assigned to develop certain skills in certain players and work with them and teach them and make them better ball players. So if somebody like Spencer Dinwiddie, you don't just go, whatever, and let him go. And he ends up being like a second-tier level star and a contributing player. Guy taking game-ending shots on a good team. I want it to work that way. I want them to not cast away assets because they couldn't figure out what other teams could figure out. Yeah, I mean, you got to draft well and you got to lure free agents, but there's found money, there's found value in development, and that just takes smart people who know what they're doing.
And I'm probably abnormally patient with some of these things, but I'm not all out on Lauri Markkanen yet. I think we haven't seen his ceiling at this point. I think there's a chance if you bring in the right people to try and work with him. You saw what could have been first couple of years if an ascension were to head back in that positive direction. Then he's a guy who maybe is he a key piece in a championship puzzle? A key piece, not the key piece at this point. Even Zach LaVine, he's what, 24? You know what I mean?
25.
About to turn 25 is what I think. He's 24 today and like turns 25 next month. Something like that. Trying to trust my feeble memory. But for so many of the key pieces of this squad, or what could be key piece squad that haven't completely rounded into form, I don't need to see a lot of them cast aside. Now, if you want to say, I think to the point you were asking, Gross, about the last 27 games, so I think the importance of it could be, you know, Otto Porter being back healthy. What does he look like? Does he look like either a tradable asset or somebody that's a veteran influence, a Jose Abreu type? Like, you know what? It's good to have that guy around because not only is he productive, but he's a great influence on the younger guys on the roster. He's a pro who's productive, who takes the right approach that we like and can be the influence we want and need in this locker room. There's potentially a role for that. Or if nothing else, then he looks like something that somebody else adds. Here's a 3-and-D guy that you may need. I think that Otto Porter, who's a little longer in the tooth, I'd be good with that. But LaVine and Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen, I think those are guys who bringing that what they're hoping will be the future core back together healthy at one time is something that is still important over the last 27.
You are listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score, radio.com sports station.
Anthony mentioned a birthday potentially coming up for Zach LaVine. There's a little bit of birthday trivia today that Connor found before the show.
So it's Bruce Levine's birthday today. Happy birthday to our guy, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
It is also, and this is super nerdy, so hang with me. It is also, technically speaking, according to the comic books, it is also Bruce Wayne's birthday today. So Bruce shares a birthday with Bruce, which means there's some sort of alternate reality Levine was Batman or something, like in a former life.
Obviously, he covers
so have fun with that as you go.
There is a bit of mystery as it pertains to Levine. There always has been.
No one knows where he came from. He just arrived as a fully formed, well-respected MLB scribe.
Yeah, we were having some fun before the show, just imagining that to the DC universe in which Bruce Levine is also Batman.
There was some childhood drama involving bats in Bruce Levine's childhood.
Had to have
been mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at this point, it is why he is constantly around.
There is something about Bruce, too, that, I mean, if he is a superhero, there is an intimidation factor when it comes to Bruce Levine. There really is. I've seen him, like, in scrums ask reporters to go outside, so to speak, because things were getting a little bit pushy at times. And I remember when I saw that, I was just a young pup reporter. From that day on, I was intimidated by Bruce.
Should I bring my brass knuckles every time?
No, I didn't think that. I was like, no, don't cross Bruce Levine is all I thought.
Just shiv in the...
My rule was don't hit me in the back of the head with the lens of your camera.
No.
With the lens cover thing.
That is a lot of people's rule, though. It's not fun.
Yeah,
like, it's not just you.
Don't
it hurts.
And don't demand that I hold your mic because I beat everybody to the front of the scrum because I hustled to get there. Oh. Can you hold the mic for me? Well,
no.
I'm here to do my job.
Do I know you? If I know somebody and I'm right, doing a favor right. and all that, yeah. absolutely.
Or if they ask beforehand,
yeah.
that's fine. It's like, hey, our reporter's not here or something like that. It's just
but
me
those,
shooting.
The international scrums and like the NBA finals when you've got everybody Ooh. From every country that's racing over to talk
no.
to Dennis Rodman or something.
No.
And you've got I have a literal stick that I would use to
yeah.
pry.
Oh, so you used the mic stick.
Yeah. Oh,
you used
yeah.
the,
no.
Okay.
What'd you have, like a hockey stick?
No, it was a plunger with the rubber
it's
plunger
the jaws
removed.
Of life. You would wedge it in and just part
and
people.
And I made it. And it had the microphone clip, the whole
yeah.
holder thing on the end.
A lot of TV guys still use those.
But I had to weaponize it for some of these things because you would get in there and literally have to hold people off with it or pry your way into the front of the scrum. I'll never forget that Michael saw me doing it one time. And just kind of gave me a look like, damn. Like, because he watched me just sort of come out of nowhere, shoving people out of the way. And he kind of gave me a little, like a respectful, like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Game respects game. Yeah. That's what that is.
It's actually really embarrassing when you're in a locker room and every, like, 30 reporters will run to one guy watching the reactions of the rest of the players. Like, what's going
yeah.
on
Oh, my
here?
God.
Like, it's really, it's not a great, I mean, we got to do what we got to do.
Right.
And I am still part of it. I am complicit. I get it.
But it's embarrassing.
But it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Some of the things that we have to do in locker rooms or wherever it may be to talk to players.
I've tinkered around with it a little bit. I've only done it a couple of times.
Yeah, but you're big enough that you can, it doesn't really affect you as much.
Tall
right.
helps, too.
Yeah.
Tall helps
a lot. Yeah, yeah, you get that
yeah.
angle.
Yeah.
Well, that was like, you're talking about Angry Bruce. Back in the day, an Angry Mully.
Oh, like I'd love to see that.
Oh, but he would be news gathering, and he's a big guy, and he would have like one of these little dictaphone micro cassettes in either hand, and he called it the Iron Cross, where he would be able to stand and do and actually record two interviews simultaneously, and he'd be turning his head and holding one to this side and one to this side, and if somebody bumped into him or stepped on a question, that was when like, oh, here we go,
it's on, baby. He ain't holding nobody's microphone. No, that is not going down. Guys, we are going to, on this particular show today, do a ton of football in the first hour. The combine is coming. The Bears are going to sign a tight end. It looks like we'll tell you what that means. Also, some baseball discussion in the second hour of the show. And I have come up with the biggest mistake of the tenure of Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, as it turns out. The biggest mistake that they have made, and it's not necessarily what you think it is. We also will have on a buddy of Anthony Heron's, Corey Chavis. You guys probably remember him from the Minnesota Vikings, former Pro Bowler. He now runs a magazine called Draft Nasty.
DraftNasty.com.
Right. We'll talk to him about the draft, presumably. And the new
and nasty as well, right?
And yeah,
we'll get a discussion about nasty.
We're gonna get nasty with him, and also the new NFL rule changes or the playoff proposed changes as well. So
that was great.
Have fun, boys.
We're listening.
See you guys tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.